morning, honorable members, the department, ministry, thank you.
And Pastor, from our team, we've got the acting DG, Mr. Mabuza, and the Deputy Director General Mineral Regulations, Mr. Rapela. With us as well, we've got the advisor to the Minister, Advocate Mufe, the Chief of Staff, Mr. Sasi, Chief Director Communication, Ms. Chesley, the Deputy Director Policy, Mr. Jali. They are all in this lying here. And then the acting CEO of PASA, Ms. Mekwe, you see that, that there. The, from Office of the DG, we got Mr. Matos, who's on my right here, and Mr. Msongo, the young lion opposite here, and the Parliamentary Liaison Officer, Mr. Makagula. This is the team DMR PASA that we are here with you today. We're actually very delighted to be appearing before this committee today, which is so full in terms of the room space. It just shows the importance of the work we are doing together as a country and the advice we're taking from public as well on some of these issues. We are going to present to you the framework, regulatory framework of shale gas, and this is going to be a joint presentation that is going to be done here by the DDG, by the acting DG. Ms. Nick will also be able to comment on this one, so that we take you from where we left last time as we were discussing shale gas issues, but also to assure you that we are at a very advanced stage in terms of the regulations themselves. And as Mr. Mabuza will be doing the presentation, he will just give us the timing as to when we can expect the regulations to be validated. Maybe you can just say maybe this coming Friday or next week to be safe. They should be on the Gazette. There has been a bit of a delay, but it's a matter that I think we're correcting going forward. To us, this matter is a really important economic trajectory that we're taking as a country to explore and exploit some of the resources that we have and so on, including shale gas, which has got the potential to really make an impact in our energy space, in our gas to liquid space, a technology that we have as a country, that PetroSA is doing so well, to including Sasol, which is also doing a lot of shale gas exploration in our jurisdiction, including a huge investment in the United States, and they are doing a lot of work as well in Canada. So we're excited that the equities are here with us, but we also have to benchmark what we are doing with other best practices elsewhere. So we're here to do this presentation, but the chair also raised very important matters relating to the mining industry in general, the space where we are today. We can say with confidence that with the many years of mining in this country, over 150 years of mining, we do have the necessary experience, the knowledge, the skills, and the expertise to be able to take the industry forward. We've taken a decision that after a century of mining, we should do things better going forward, especially to ensure that the economic spin-offs of mining are shared among the people of South Africa. We also celebrate the 60 years of the Freedom Charter, and that clause that talks about the wealth of the country being shared among the people becomes very important and relevant as well. But we also know that in this over 100 years of mining, we have learned about some of the environmental damages that can be done by mining if we don't deal with that matter decisively. Our laws have improved significantly since 1994 to ensure that as we do go forward, we protect the environment. The questions of health and safety of workers becomes also paramount. And this also will be able to reduce significantly the number of fatalities and injuries on in this industry. But having said that, we obviously have not arrived yet to a zero harm situation that we are looking for. But also we're going through a time where the mining industry, some of the commodity prices are very low, especially platinum, coal and iron ore. So there are still difficulties that are happening in the industry. But history also tells us that these commodity prices become very cyclical in their nature. So we are very confident that we will really actually turn the corner on this one. The matter that is consistently raised about job losses, there is engagement between industry, the departments that are relevant, and the trade unions on these matters. And I think it's a matter that we should be able to find some solutions on. Lastly, we also at a point where the question of the transformation has come to the fore. We are really at the crossroads here in my view, because we've taken 10 years since 2004 to effect and go this route and path of transformation in the industry, where the targets were set, where there was an agreement as to what should happen 10 years later. The minister should be releasing maybe in next month the final report on the charter compliance issues. So we very at a point where we're going to need a lot of cooperation amongst and between us to get this transformation effected. Lastly, the one of the matters that keeps on, like the environment, that we keep forgetting are the ex-mine workers. The people who have really borne the brunt of economic growth over many years. Some of them destitute in the Eastern Cape and elsewhere, in rural areas. We have taken it the past 2 years to ensure that we do what the law provides. That each and every ex-mine workers has got the rights and privilege to free medical benefit examination every 2 years. We've set special clinics already in the Eastern Cape and in Gauteng. We're proceeding in the Northern Cape. We're going to go to Limpopo and other provinces as well to establish what they call one-stop service centers where ex-mine workers can go there for examination, compensation, rehabilitation, and whatever other support they might need. So we're very determined to get this training and we're working very hard. In this month of workers, I think they will have to get a special treatment that I think before we close this month, we should be able to check how far we've gone, what this process of caring. As a caring government with people, we should never forget where we come from. So, Chair, without going further into other details, maybe I should just give to the acting DG to take us through the presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Deputy Minister. Chairperson, honorable members, good morning. In taking you through the presentation, we would cover these four items. We'll provide a bit of background, and we will share the regulatory framework as it stands, and we'll cover in brief the future of shale gas as we see it, and then we will conclude. Honorable members, in February 2011, the DMR responded to the major concerns that were brought to its attention in respect of the potential risks that are presented by the development of shale gas. In its response, it imposed a moratorium on any processing of new applications, reconnaissance permits, technical cooperation permits, exploration rights, and production rights. This imposition of the moratorium was so that an interdepartmental task team would be convened in order to study and submit a report on the potential environmental risks that are inherent with the use of hydraulic fracturing, as well as the possible negative and positive socio-economic impacts related to shale gas development. This interdepartmental task team prepared a comprehensive report, which it made public in the same year, presented to Cabinet, and Cabinet of South Africa approved this report titled Investigation of Hydraulic Fracturing, with the following recommendations. One, that an interdepartmental committee be established in order to augment the regulatory framework in order to ensure that any negative environmental impacts associated with hydraulic fracturing are sufficiently mitigated. And two, emphasize on the need of collaboration between the departments of mineral resources as well as science and technology in order to explore mechanisms for coexistence of the astronomy research projects and the development of shale gas in the same area. This interdepartmental committee developed the regulations for petroleum exploration and production in order to address the following. Firstly, to augment the gaps that were identified in the current regulatory framework governing exploration and production of petroleum resources, particularly in relation to hydraulic fracturing. And secondly, to prescribe the best international petroleum industry practices and standards which will enhance the exploration and production of petroleum in a safe manner. In the next slide, we cover the legislation governing upstream oil and gas activities. The first one is the Mineral and Petroleum Resources Development Act, number 28 of 2002, the National Water Act of 1998, the National Environmental Act, also of 1998, the Astronomy Geographic Advantage Act of 2007, the National Environmental Management Waste Act of 2008, the National Radioactive Waste Disposal Act of 2008. In essence, honorable members, the MPRDA is the main legislation governing petroleum resources applications. These regulations for exploration and production of petroleum resources are developed in terms of Section 107 of the Mineral and Petroleum Resources Development Act. The regulations by themselves are not exhaustive, but they must be read where applicable and relevant with other applicable legislation, such as, for instance, the National Water Act, the National Environmental Management Act, the National Geographic Advantage Act, and so on. Honourable members, in 2011, when the potential of shale gas emerged, the estimates, the very rough estimates at the time, were 485 trillion cubic feet. With a little bit more work, these estimates were further revised in 2013 to 390 trillion cubic feet. And subsequent estimates of the resource that were undertaken by both the Petroleum Agency of South Africa, here in represented, as well as the Council for Geoscience, suggest that the best estimate of a technical recoverable resource is 38 trillion cubic feet only for one formation known as the White Hill Formation of the Karoo. This alone represents 36 times the basis of the bankable visibility of most gas. Effectively, if indeed this 36 trillion cubic feet was affirmed with exploration, South Africa would have the potential of 36 more gas plants operating with that potential. Honourable members, to date, we have received 5 applications on shale gas development. 3 of these have expressly indicated that they will not necessarily be seeking to apply hydraulic fracturing at the beginning. And so they will be looking at what we call normal exploration, focusing on seismics, seismic activities, and other exploration technology and so on. The regulations for petroleum exploration and production are currently being gazetted to enable the processing of these applications. So as soon as we have published in the Government Gazette the final regulation within the next week or so, we should be able to then continue with the processing of the applications against the requirements of the regulations. The regulations, in summary, honourable members, they explicitly protect the astronomy project, in particular the SKA, and make sufficient provision for mitigation of impacts on the environment as well as water resources. Earlier this year, the Minister of Finance, in his budget vote, allocated 108 million rands to focus on the shale gas development. And this money has been largely redirected to the Petroleum Agency of South Africa, as well as the Council for Geoscience, in order to continue with the research, because research by its nature is not an activity, but it's a journey. And because we are driving for our regulations to be evidence and science-based, this research will further inform the development of shale gas as we go forward. The Department of Science and Technology has also initiated a research project through the Council of Geoscience to investigate further the Karoo geology and establish the shale gas potential. This is known as the Karin project. The project team is comprised of academic communities, largely, with PhDs and professors constituting the membership of the project team, to ensure that the credibility of the work that emerges out of the work of the task team can sufficiently direct us further as we go forward with the development of shale gas in South Africa. In addition, honorable members, 2 weeks ago, the Department of Environmental Affairs, together with the DMR and the Water Affairs, has initiated a project supported technically by the Council for Geoscience, CSI, as well as SANDI, to develop a strategic environmental assessment here on the Karoo region. This work will span a period of 2 years. It has already commenced. It is in its fourth month of commencement. And its output would also constitute the basis of our evidence and scientific-based approach to the development of shale gas in South Africa. The Council for Geoscience is also working together with SANEDI at researching the availability of alternative water resources and or other fluids that can be applicable in the development of shale gas in the Karoo when that eventually happens. This project has been provided a period of 2 years and it has also already commenced. The MPRDA bill has made provision for unprecedented policy shift in enabling active state participation in the mainstream economy, particularly in exploration and production of the petroleum resources in South Africa. If indeed proven feasible, the shale gas development has major potential for South Africa. It will essentially contribute to the development of black industrialists, decent employment opportunities, poverty elimination, and skills development, amongst others. It will ensure security of cost, competitive energy supply, and substantially reduce the country's carbon footprint in line with our international commitment. It will contribute towards the urgent need to expand our national capacity to generate electricity. Even a moderate shale resource potential will have positive effects on the energy landscape by contributing to the diversification of the energy mix as well as the security of supply. The petro-acid gas to liquid project was commissioned on 1 CCF as indicated earlier, and it provides approximately 5% of the national demand for liquid fuels. So you can imagine with 36 TCF, the impact, as a minimum, the impact thereof is potentially substantial for South Africa. These developments are consistent with the developmental objective of government as contained in the National Development Plan. Honorable members, shale gas has the shale gas development has the potential for significant contribution towards socio-economic development and to trigger creation of mainstream industries which can potentially provide additional employment opportunities. It acknowledges that the complexity and variations of modeling will require a different level of industrialization which is more dependent on infrastructure for the development of aid cares. The regulatory framework are being finalized, and as they are finalized, they will trigger the exploration of aid cares. And the significance of this trigger is that exploration will span anything between 3 and 7 years, and it would allow for other programs that we have announced earlier, the research-based programs, to further refine our regulatory framework into the future to ensure that we have and we develop shale gas responsibly. The augmentation of the regulatory framework, honorable members, sufficiently provides not only for the protection of the environment and the water resources in the Karoo, but also the National Astronomy Program commitments that we have made. That brings us to the end of the presentation, Deputy Minister, honorable members. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair. We're excited and happy to share more if there are any issues that we've left out of the committee. Thank you very much.
Okay. Without any delays, welcome Honorable Smith. Okay. I pause even a step to the point where I decide where committee members sit, regardless of what time they come in. Okay. Pastor?
Honorable Chair, the same presentation. Yes.
Okay. I'm not used to such short meeting. We're still waiting for more. Okay. Honorable members, that's the presentation received, and I think let's appreciate the your side. We'll only say you did your best after we've concluded with the business of the day. Any questions of clarity? I've not even finished. Any questions of clarity, any comments, any observations? With due respect, honorable member, I do my level best. I can guarantee you introduce yourself once, I will not. But honorable member, and then so honorable Jaffa, and then honorable Masala, and then honorable Mandela, let me look at your faces again. I know you do as usual. Okay. Yes, honorable member.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Annette Lovemore.
Annette.
Lovemore.
Okay.
I'm from the Eastern Cape, and my constituency includes the Tamdivoo Municipality Kwaponet area, which is an area that is targeted for potential fracking. So that's my interest. May I go ahead and ask questions? My
dilemma is that I thought you were replacing someone. I'm
afraid. No, I'm a member of the National Assembly.
Oh.
Yes, I'm a member of the National Assembly.
Oh, I thought that you started by introducing the constituency
I'm telling you why I'm here.
Okay, no. You put it every light.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. I attended a meeting of the Select Committee on Land and Environmental Affairs towards the end of last year. To my recollection, the Minister actually presented at that meeting. At that meeting, it was indicated that the regulations would not be gazetted until such time as public consultation had been undertaken on the revised regulations. Public consultation was undertaken, the regulations were gazetted. The undertaking was made at that meeting here in Parliament that additional public consultation would be done before the final gazetting. Now, that public consultation was supposed to be done over December and January, which is obviously not a good time. Members expressed concern about that. at the time, and it turned out not to be a good time. So the consultation was not, in fact, done. However, the fact remains that there was a commitment to do that consultation, and we are told now that we are expecting the gazetting of the regulations on Friday without that consultation. So I'm just interested to understand what had happened with respect to that consultation, not only because there was a commitment, but also because the acting ED is very very much aware, Chairperson, that there have been threats of legal action with respect to the regulations, and he obviously must guard against those. Chair, the strategic environment assessment was recently announced, and it's something that we I think both South Africans certainly welcome, because we know that there are major threats that are inherent in hydraulic fracturing. Let me just refer to page 9. Page 9, or slide 9, says the regulations, these are the ones that are to be gazetted on Friday, explicitly protect the astronomy project, that's fine, and then says they make sufficient provision for mitigation of impacts on the environment and water resources. Now, if we don't have in place the strategic environmental assessment as yet, or the other baseline studies that are being conducted, in addition to those that were presented, I'm aware that the Eastern Cape government is funding a baseline study being undertaken by NMU. But the fact is that the strategic environmental assessment is going to take 2 years. How is it possible for the Deputy Director General or anybody from Mineral Resources to say that the regulations make sufficient provision for mitigation of impacts, when it is impossible, in fact, to quantify impacts because we haven't got a strategic environmental assessment? So I would appreciate some comments, excuse me, on that. And then, Chair, I'll try and keep the next two questions short or shorter. Chair, there has been game-changing evidence from across the world, with country after country, in fact, banning hydraulic fracturing, including the home country of Shell, which is Holland, for good reason. There's a very strong argument that holds that technology doesn't exist that can mitigate the risks that are inherent in hydraulic fracturing as it currently is practiced. And I would appreciate a comment on that. The Minister of Water Affairs, in a response to a parliamentary question, Water and Sanitation, in response to a parliamentary question that came through this week, indicated that she will be declaring hydraulic fracturing a water controlled activity in terms of the Water Act within the next few months. That potentially will put a hold on any activity that is taken with respect to hydraulic fracturing. Is the Department of Mineral Resources working with the Department of Water Affairs, and what is the nature of the relationship there, and certainly how do they see progress going forward with respect to that? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Levman. Honourable Matlala.
Honourable Matlala, not Matlala. Yeah, thank you, Honorable Chair. Mr. Mabuza and the department. Page 8, Future of Changes. You see, to me, Honorable Chair, is very technical. If I can take this page 8 to my constituency, and one member of the constituency said, no, can you explain this page 8? I might not be able to explain it. It's very technical. I would like the department, maybe not the entire page 8, but bullet 1, 2, 3, to be very technical. I'm also assisting some of my fellow members here, because if Mr. Mabuza can leave the minister and remain all of us here and say, can explain this page 8? I think it would be very difficult to some of us to thoroughly explain and know how it is this for. I mean, like the 485T clean on chip clean. You know, it's very difficult because some of us, we didn't have an opportunity to work underground or had a workshop of some sort to explain some of these things. in a simple language. Thank you, Chair. The second one, Chair, is verbal information, but I will reserve my right not to ask these questions in this meeting. It will lead to me and the department, those who are in charge, to further explain to me, because to me, I can't, my conscience doesn't allows me to exactly ask these questions. I have the right not to ask some of the questions as a member. I'm not obliged or forced to ask questions in this meeting, but I will see to it that the minister and those who are in charge after this meeting can be able to explain it to me, so that I can be able to take it further to my constituents and explain it, what is it. Thank you, Honourable Chair.
You have already explained that you are Honourable Matlala, not Matlala. So you can still explain also your question. You see, the problem, maybe the reason you can't clarify it is that you are trying to clarify your surname. Now, you are free, Honourable Matlala. I don't want people who... we respect your right to reserve your comment. But I'm sure, as Honourable Members, the mere fact that you said you wanted to read it, it makes us curious to see, because what you might have asked could assist this committee. But I can't override your right to remain silent. It's your right. Okay. Honourable Mandes.
Thank you, Chair. I hope this unit is order. Would like to welcome the presentation by the DL, as well as the department through the acting DG. Chairperson, I have a few questions of clarity that I would like to be assisted on. I think if we pay attention to slide 4, slide 4 talks about an interdepartmental committee, which I would like to know as to who leads that committee and which are the departments that are part of this initiative. Second one is what are the issues or concerns arising out of the collective interdepartmental committee? If you can assist us in understanding that much better. If you go to slide number 8, Chairperson, there is on the fourth bullet, it says to date there are 5 applications. Is it public knowledge who those 5 applicants are? If so, can they can we be informed as the portfolio committee? And are they anticipating as the department more other applications to come out of this exploration? And out of the 5 applicants that we've already received, have we ensured the empowerment of local communities through broad-based structures? On slide number 9, Chairperson, on the first bullet point, there's the major concern I have in terms of the shale gas exploration, and it talks to the impacts on the environment and water resources. And I'd like to understand to what extent are the impacts posing danger or any harm to the environment and the water resources, particularly when the entire global community is facing shortages in water resources, and we are not left out of this challenge. So I'd like to understand what are the challenges in terms of that. Lastly, Chairperson, if we may go to slide number 11, and on the second bullet point, talks about there's a potential of the development of black industrialists, employment opportunities, as well as elimination of poverty. And I'd like to understand, Chairperson, and be taken into confidence as to what have been the studies undertaken in this regard. How many black industrialists will be actually realized out of this opportunity? What employment opportunities are there? And how many people will actually be employed through this shale gas opportunity? The last thing, Chairperson, in alleviating poverty, how are we going to ensure that? Because, as I say, there is the danger that lies between perhaps a mining operation and agricultural operation. These mining operations happen on agricultural land. So what then becomes of priority in terms of employment opportunities and ensuring that our people are able to alleviate poverty through these opportunities? Thank you, sir.
Any follow-up?
I know.
Honorable Piginimi, Honorable Smith. You know, next time I'm not going to even ask any follow-up. I'm going to tell you that Honorable Soran is of God, but now they do. I know Honorable Esteza is still adjusting on this. You see, I know I told you. Honorable Esteza. No. What I like about him, while he's reading, his head was already up. So all other additional items on your head, his head is going to find it. So by the time the end comes to him, Honorable Piginini.
Thank you very much, sir. Chair, there are five applications that were involved recently. Now, we know about the one of hydrogen, precursor method. Now they are talking about other methods. Can we really decide by how good is this method or what is happening with the other methods which are not completely separated? The other one, you see, I normally like the issue of public participation in the sense. Now, we can't miss that one. We are urging that the issue of public participation at any stage in this government, nothing would happen without any kind of consultation to go for me. Fortunately, I'm from the other community, this is where I come from, in the government. So I always, in my position, you know, you must not just be any stakeholder that is in the subject. Because those stakeholders will then tell me, you know, I always is really a point that they have been consulted, that they have been involved in the participation. Thank you very much. The last one, the use of water. You see, when you look at the difference between men and soap, if you look at the issue that you can't use the sea water in dealing with this particular matter, in that particular area, to augment. I mean, in Kambu, they were dealing with so much of the water in the other support. So, when we are dealing with there. Now, I'm trying to look now to come up with what this is. We could not have outside that. Of using the state water to compete. It's not far. It's about decreasing from other parts. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. From slide 8, it appears that the regulations are to be promulgated soon. Are these the final regulations?
Good. Very soon, Mr. Chair. Not a punishment, but not a process.
Can you push that one as
well? Yeah. Sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Okay.
The regulations which have been discussed earlier today, are they the final regulations or are they going to be for comment by the public? There seems to be some consultations still outstanding. That's the first issue. Secondly, there has also been discussion about the strategic development studies that will take 2 years. Somewhere there's been in the media a request by TKAG, I think it was, saying that these studies are firstly finalized before the completion of the application, so the presentation of the rejection of the application. What's the department's point of view in respect to? And then thirdly, is the department of the view that they will consider the application despite the finalization of the strategic development studies? What time frame are we looking at for the finalization of the applications by the department?
Sure, thank you.
I will open with a prayer. Thank you. I apologize for coming late. You know, I had a meeting in Acacia Park with Parks Department this morning. I just found out from my colleague next to me what was the presentation about. Firstly, child gas, the unemployment rate of 25% in this country, I think it would contribute hugely if sufficient child gas, and nothing has actually been proven, but if sufficient child gas deposit could be found. But also there's a very much a negative fight in shale gas in the length of drilling. We are the 21st driest country in the world. Excuse me, it needs like 19 million liters for operation, for places like the Karoo, where there's no water. The impact that it will have on the social, on the Karoo itself, to have like 500 trucks, water trucks coming into the Karoo, will have a devastating effect on the landscape there. There's so many other things that I can actually mention, but I hope I will allow some follow-up questions as I'm trying to go through the presentation. Thank you, John. Thank you.
Because part of you said you are equally liable on the presentation made. You own the presentation footstools. then suggests that you will also be able, where possible, to provide clarity on the questions that have been raised, not only limited to the department. Yes.
Hello, Chair. Thank you very much, and thanks for the enlightening questions from members. You see, I'm going to ask Mr. Mbuza to answer the questions. But the point I want to make is that when we are in committee,
I hope the MP are not trying to dispute what Honourable Metala was raising.
No.
That if Mbuza were to be taken out, we would find it difficult to interpret what he contained here.
No. Like I said, I've got a very strong team here. That knows the issues very well, and the chair also. All the other members know. You also know. I know why you're asking the question. So that's fine. But I want to make this illustration to members that when we come to committees as well, we need to be advised in terms of what you're thinking, because the questions sometimes when you listen to them, there is an answer behind the question. Either the answer says or the concern is that don't go ahead with this economic activity or whatever the issues are. There has been a lot of consultation. Consultation does not stop. Consultation becomes continuous. And as well, when we do this, like the FTDG was saying, as we proceed, we refine as we go. This is uncharted water for us. We've got to learn from other jurisdictions that have been doing this over many years. As far as others who are stopping it for whatever environmental reasons, there are other jurisdictions who are actually increasing their exploration on this matter of shale gas. So it's important that as a country, we should take in terms of our oath what is in the national interest as well as our country. I take the view that we can never, we shouldn't be reckless about the environment. Even water for that matter, I think it's about what Mr. Esterhazy is saying. When he said he's just arriving from Acacia Park, I thought it was a water problem, but it's like it's not. It is a water problem. I understand your question even better now. You see, I happen to visit a place, Gobi Desert, somewhere there in the country that Mabuza knows well, where they are mining. You know, a desert on its own doesn't have water. But I can tell you there is a huge mine, a big mine in that desert, with lots of water. You see? When I looked at this, I looked at the resilience and the technology that they are using to extract water from deep, deep, deep wells, to come to that point where they are. I started also to continue to respect the mining industry, their expertise, their resilience, and to make things happen. So I'm raising this point just to illustrate that we have the same concerns as a country about water and environment. This government is not irresponsible when it comes to its matters. I think you will recall that after 1994, the laws on environment and water were strengthened because they were reckless before in terms of what has happened to the damage that has gone into this environment, the liability that we've got to correct this environment. So I want to assure this committee that we are as concerned as you are about the environmental impact of mining activity, and especially in areas that are as dry as the country. So that's the point, the first point I want to make. And in terms of the strategic environmental assessment that has been done, the period of 2 years, what has happened, and so on, Mr. Mabula will get into details of it. The second point that I want to answer is the one that Mr. Matlala is so worried about. Mr. Matlala, Honorable Matlala. In terms of the measurement, Baba, your distance you'll measure in kilometers, your weight in kilograms, your gas in cubic meter, cubic feet, etc. It's just 100 kgs. So what the point we're making is that the quantity of gas that is inferred in the studies, desktop studies that are done, was over 480 TCF. You see? But the fact that the experience that we have in South Africa is the most gas, which is now Petro LA, which was established out of 1 cubic feet in terms of quantum of the gas that was there. And you know the economic spin-off that has come out of that one, that came out of that one. So we're just saying if this is true, because a lot of further studies have been done, refined, and one of the wells that is referred to here, talks about 36 CCF. So you can imagine if we go that way. But like the departmental committee that you get a response to who was involved, was really to look into all aspects, and especially our commitment to a square kilometer array, to this astronomy project that we are busy with, etc. That it should not be impacted at all. It must be protected in whatever we do. So I'm saying this, we have in the beginning, like in any other jurisdiction, we have resistance about these developments. You see? But as we explain, as things go on, the same communities who are destitute, who are looking for jobs, who are looking for opportunities, and so on and so on, after if this is here and it's not going to deal with our waters negatively and the environment negatively, why not? So the economic matter that we've got to handle very sensitively. I'm just trying to assure the members, Honorable Chair, that this is an issue that we take very seriously, as well as the environmental impact issues.
Thank you, dear. Thank you, Honorable Members. I think just to take off from where DM left off, the first part is to say, Honorable Members, to demonstrate the seriousness with which we take the concerns. When they were brought to our attention in 2011, we immediately impose that moratorium. As a government that takes very seriously environmental and any risk that is imposed to our water resources as a water scarce country, and in particular the Karoo. And in the past 4 years, and that's how long it has taken us this journey. It has been a journey of 4 years to get where we are. And so we continue to engage, and we will engage communities, public consultations. In fact, we've identified and set aside a whole month to deepen public participation, particularly in those areas that are affected. But also, honorable members, in terms of the MPRDA, every applicant has a responsibility to consult extensively with affected communities. And so it is required of the applicant to demonstrate and honor lies with this applicant, supervised obviously by government, to ensure that there is extensive consultation on their program specifically in terms of how they will address the issues of concern that are raised within the regulatory framework. And so when we balanced the provisions that are contained in the law with the regulatory development process and elements of consultation that have been taken place with communities, we then felt confident that communities consultation has not been left out, and that it will continue to constitute part of our legislative development and its implementation, looking at it through those prisms. I think I will answer the question of strategic environmental assessment as raised in both cases by Honorable Lavo and Honorable Schmidt. Honorable members, we have said that, and what is contained in slide 8 demonstrates that we don't know how much is there. Quite frankly, we don't even know yet if anything is economically explainable at this stage. And that's why you see those estimates coming from 485 to 390, today is 36, who knows what tomorrow it will be. But what this indicates is that we have very limited information today. And so what the regulations are going to enable is for South Africa to begin to undertake exploration. Not that we are going to hydraulically fracture the Karoo a day after the regulations are released. What this will allow South Africa is for us to go and say, do we really have shakers in the Karoo? That is not only technically but economically exploitable. Because, and that's why I was talking about an estimate of 3 to 7 years for that exploration to take place. Because that will then give us the confidence as South Africans that indeed we have 30 TCF, we have 36, or perhaps we have more than 485. We don't know. But we must enable exploration to happen, because as exploration will really direct us and inform us with information whether we have this or not. Now, I'd also said in the presentation that we are parallel processing so that the evidence and scientific basis is augmented. We have some evidence basis that have taken us this far with the development of the regulations. But we are not saying that these regulations are now, they are... I'm exhausted. We are saying that the strategic environmental assessment study, together with the other studies that will be undertaken by Petroleum Agency of South Africa, the Council for Geoscience, and the other work undertaken through the Department of Science and Technology over the next 2 or 3 years' time, which is in sync with the exploration phase, will further assist us to augment these regulations. If indeed there is evidence that indicates that there are significant risks that have been omitted in this phase of the regulations that we have published. Now, that is the logic that that we have adopted going forward. I think on the issue of jurisdictions, including Holland, that have banned the hydraulic fracturing, it is quite interesting that these jurisdictions change. You know that the United Kingdom banned hydraulic fracturing. And in April this year, they announced that they made the discovery of 100 billion barrel oil deposit outside of Gatwick Airport. And now, this government is considering to unban hydraulic fracturing because the best technology that will extract that 100 billion barrel of the resource is hydraulic fracturing. Now, we also have to be careful as South Africans to follow these other jurisdictions blindly, because obviously decisions are taken on the basis of circumstances that are applicable to that country at that particular time. And so, in this context, I would caution us looking at analysis of who has banned and who has unbanned, but look at South Africa and say, is this technology going to help South Africa? Can we make it? Can we develop it in a responsible way that will be protective of our environment, that will be protective of our water resources, that will contribute to our development? Now, those must be the questions that we ask, not so much who had or who hasn't banned technology, because there are jurisdictions in which it has worked exceptionally well, Canada being one of them, and other areas in the United States. On the announcement of Minister of Water and Sanitation, she is part of the streamlined project that we announced on the 8th of December, licensing for mining and petroleum resources, water use, as well as environmental authorization. They are all part of the streamlined process of government in its pursuit for cooperative governance. And so all the work of the department as they relate to mining and petroleum resources development, we work together. Indeed, what the minister had announced is part of the work of the interministerial process. On the interdepartmental committee, Honorable Mandela is led by the DMR. There is the Department of Environmental Affairs. There is the Department of Water and Sanitation, Department of Science and Technology, and DTI, Trade and Industry. But we also have the institutions reporting to those departments that are providing us with the technical support, the Petroleum Agency.
And Department of Energy.
Or Department of Energy, yes. Department of Energy as well. Petroleum Agency of South Africa being one, the Council of Geoscience,
Sanbi,
and the South African National
Biodiversity
Institute, and so the concerns that arose out of the work of the committee, Honourable Mandela, include obviously the issue of the initially coexistence of shale gas and SKA. And we had over time then been able to resolve that issue as reported in the presentation to address it as you know, these regulations explicitly protecting the SKA. And obviously one of the key issues that came out of an address through the committee is how do we sufficiently ensure that synergies between the work of the DMR, NEMA, in relation of the protection of the environment, as well as the Department Department of Water and Sanitation. The other issue I can think of is the risk of whether indeed there is a gas in the crew. And if there is, then it's great for a country. It will possibly change our country forever. And it is in the right quantities and the right qualities. However, if the risk of not having any economically exploitable shale gas that can contribute to any of these things that we are looking up to, creation of black industrialists and employment creation and so on, then it means that we have to continue looking for other opportunities. And that is one of the latest risks that we face. The five applications, it's public knowledge, Honorable Mandela. The three applications are from Shell. I don't know if the FTC also.
Yeah. Thank you, Chair and Honorable Members. So far we have actually received five exploration rights applications over the Karoo, with the addition of two technical cooperation permits that have also been received over the Karoo. The reason why there was only interest on the five applications because of its exploration rights, and we all know and expect that with exploration comes invasive activities. So on the five applications that we received, three applications were actually made by Shell, and then on the other two was actually from Bundu Gas, and then the other one was actually Falcon. On the question that was actually raised by Honorable Pikinini in relation to what methods are the other two going to employ in terms of exploration activities, they are only concerned with desktop study, which means that they are only going to gather the data that have been done previously over the Karoo and analyze it and assess it, and then it's only after they have done that they can actually think of whether they want to do hydraulic fracturing. Shell also indicated that on the first three validity periods of their rights, they will only do an assessment of the data, and the hydraulic fracturing will only happen during the renewal of the right, which will basically mean that after 3 years period where the right has been granted.
Thank you, Ms. Mika. Honorable Mandela, we ensure that the empowerment happens. I think that as part of processing the application, those are beyond consideration for wartime environment, which the presentation has largely been focusing on. Now, immediately we've converted the regulation and we process. The transformation aspect of the application is also a consideration. None of these rights have yet been granted as far as I think they will only be granted post the
regulation.
The impact on environment and water, I think that what we have done in, we've introduced the casing, for instance, particular casing that protects surface water and also make sure that it protects the environment when any drilling. Because this shale gas is accessible at depths of over 2 kilometers down. And fresh water is really geologically only found in the top 200-300 meters depth. Anything below that, and significantly at 2 kilometers depth, you are looking at water that that cannot be consumed. Unconsumable. And so that is called brackish water. And so part of the water sources, and that's why we have commissioned the study, to look at the alternative water sources. Could the sea be one option? The study will indicate the feasibility thereof. But could it be brackish water, in which a hole is drilled to over two kilometers depth, and you are able to extract that water, and that's the water that we use to extract the shale gas? That's a possibility as well. At the moment, we will await that two-year study that will be considering the options while exploration is taking place. So that by the time, and hopefully exploration results indicate that there is shale gas that can be produced, we would have considered the possibilities of alternative sources at that stage. And when an applicant submits their application for production right, you know, at that stage, these are the alternatives that would have been considered. I think we have covered all the questions.
I was expecting that you were going to, you were not listening to the submission. There's a point that I think has been raised by a few honorable members. I understand the first question in relation to what is the actual economic output. It seems there's an element of uncertainty now, if one is, but I'll come to that later on. But the issues that we raise, I think those that relate to matter of certainty only, because if there's a view that is, which I think is not getting, I know the DMZ regulations consultation is an ongoing process, but I think there's an issue of certainty. To what extent is the process now? In fact, I thought other members wanted to frame it better. How far is the process of public consultation? And to what extent can the public feel they have access to this process? Now, it's at 11, but I thought also there can be clarity on this question on Honorable Mabuse. if I heard it correctly, is that there will be public consultation led by the department, but it seems now it's shifting to say primarily the applicant must be the one that leads that process. It's like, if I always like to make things simple, not to make it difficult. We will sit here, go there, and tell them yourself what you're going to do. That's how I look at it. You see, I don't get something that says, we will go with you, and you tell them what we expect from you, and then they must also tell you what they expect, and then on the basis of that, it is our responsibility to monitor whether you're complying with what you've made. Now, I can't get it, because it seems to me that they go to a problem, a relationship problem. But let me, can I put a spanner in the wheel? Unintentional. I see the regulations, I see everything. I move from an assumption that this is a continuation of the process of money. What does this public consultation entail? So that we don't have a future, not a better future of concern, consultation, but also the issues that relate to the mining other challenges. Particularly the SLPs and other. I don't hear whether in relation to that, it seems the consultation will be limited only on the need, let me use it advisedly, on the need to consent to exploration or non-exploration. It doesn't seem to be, to what extent will that process of consultation respond to issues of local beneficiation, if one were to use those issues. Because I think that also becomes a critical, but I think the issue of I know. Let me move also from this to my there's a decision taken. I think I want to talk also to committee members, because sitting here is being the Department of Mineral Resources, it becomes very difficult to make a determination for another department. And the risk on the page of it is that we may disagree on things that have been agreed and agree on things that probably may have been a disagreement. And probably honorable members in the broad thinking, so that we don't take decisions on behalf of other committees. Whether the presentation is only sufficient for the benefit of the Mineral Resources Committee or the Rotafora, where all the affected can be also exposed. Because, for an example, I'm sure if you are invited, then you prepare. Making an example. If you are invited, you must go and prepare for the Department of Water and Sanitation. The portfolio committee. Surely the slides will talk more on the environmental side, and they may even not decide of what minerals the said and what because it's more concerned and limited. So I'm just saying I'm throwing this thing to members rather, so that I see a situation where and I'm not saying you do. I know you are capable to do that. To convince this committee, and you end up agreeing or giving some land on a matter that may not necessarily be a prerogative, a prerequisite that is coming from this committee. I'm just trying to like to enlighten members, because for me, in most cases, we may probably be want to could be aware of these limitations that can be there. We may have a shortness of the fact that our scope of engagement could only be limited to what is the primary mandate of the committee. That's why I'm making this exercise, so that when we deal with these issues, we avoid involvement. I'm not sure TM and Slavma both, you know, when the TM was saying faith and harmony, and you couldn't say it is wanted the word exhaustive. I guess that the honorable must be careful. People are very serious that we don't question your qualifications tomorrow. People are very serious. So when the DM is trying to teach English, we may have a problem. So now the demand the higher education is only a drive, and so I don't know, I'm not saying anything there. I'm just saying you're trying to assist. But I can say Mr. Mabuza was wrestling with the one. But on a serious note, I think other members in the final analysis would have to ask a question. And I'm raising this not because I reserve my right. I'm just raising this issue. In my view, is it Honorable Tignini or Honorable Natali, one of the honorable members, raised the issue of to understand can we have an extensive discussion. Let me say why, for a specially diligent person. Clearly in the presentation, now what is explicitly coming out is that, I must say this and further, we are just at the very early stage. Because if Mr. Mabuza says, in actual terms, the regulations themselves, main intention is to, let me say, deal with the framework of exploration, not necessarily the actual process of operations per se. Is that even from my hope and my right, because that's what I regret, is that in actual terms, there is no exploration done. There's been, let me use the, no, can't teach me. I want to be, there has been a research work done. With research reflects on the fact that there is potential. Now let's deal with that. There is potential. But currently, there is no scientific evidence that exists that proves So instead of saying there's exploration, now that's my English here. Instead of saying there's exploration, there's expectation. You see? There's expectation that there is. Until exploration is done. Yeah. It actually means, even with the regulations themselves, I want you to present something for me, I want you to be clear. When you deal with the regulations for the committee can only deal and manage the regulations on the basis so that, well, sometimes the problem with the presentation sometimes you may make things different, something they may not be. In actual sense, the regulations primarily, they seek to assist the process of exploration. Yes, so when I used to see that, I'm not honest. I thought you wanted to dig shale gas tomorrow. No, the manner that you're presenting it all along tells me that you are going full force for shale gas. The issue that has not been clarified, which I think you are also, and I saw that you're going to be skating through, if you go for exploration, and you find that it does not exist, who takes responsibility to correct the scars of the exploration itself? That becomes an issue. So I'm kind of raising this thing because I think it's quite important. And whether, let me put it crudely, whether post-exploration, do you see the process in the regulatory framework that you are working on? Do you see the process now allowing further public participation engagement on the correctness? Because, for example, I don't know if this might be easy, it's true. I don't understand the assumption that you draw water from the sea. Neither do I want to say where you will do exploration. If I have a kind of exploration, you are not going to the Karoo, you find yourself in somewhere else. You see? Where you may find that you may not necessarily have scarcity of water, you may have a problem of what Honorable Mandela was raised. On the issue of access to food security, for an example. There could be many other issues that become threat, and therefore you need to go through that exercise. So I'm just placing that in that. In the final analysis, I think we need to have clarity on the matter. But I'm not trying to limit honorable members to deal with the issue of... I will ask that question at the end. But honorable members, they want to... Honorable Esteza? Honorable Lamont? Okay.
Thank you, Chair.
No.
Oh. Okay, thank you. I made a few notes. The times when I was playing rugby, we were paid 20 rand, I broke my hand, I can't read my own handwriting.
Maybe you're supposed to play
golf. Yeah. Now the economic benefit that we are playing is potentially immense. It was estimated that fracking could generate something like 200 billion rand for the country a year and create something like 700,000 jobs, directly and indirectly. That is very ambitious, I should say, very ambitious. As with the estimate about the resources of over 400 trillion cubic feet, which is already down to an estimate of 19, and the latest, what I've heard is 3, but it's still enormous, it's still a lot of potential for this country. But although the cost factor in fracking, it's a very complicated process, the pumping and purifying and the water supply that I've just spoken about and the track to get it there if it's not next to the coast, especially in a remote semi-desert area like the Karoo, which will change the whole area. And to make it semi-profitable, especially in such an area, is very difficult, and that must be kept in mind. The environmental concerns. In order to extract the gas, the water and chemicals must be used. And this is blasted into the shale at high pressure to break the rock. This could cause leaks. And it's a fact. It can cause leaks into the surface, which can affect thousands of hectares of land for many years. And also, another thing is that methane is released into the atmosphere, which is far more potent than carbon dioxide. Another thing. There's also a cultural concern. Firstly, as it disrupts the local water supplies. Then what regulations imply? What regulations will be imposed? Who's going to impose them? How will they be enforced? Water. The gentleman at the front table said it's only first 2 or 3 meters of water. That 2 or 3 meters is only the water table. That's only from rain. Drinking water for humans and animals and things in remote areas like that is from wells, boreholes and things, which is much deeper down. And this can be contaminated. With improved drilling methods, we've seen it in the reverse of we've read in America that there's only something like a risk of under 2% of this happening with the concrete cleaves that they put into the hole and everything. But it's still a 2% risk. It's still a risk. And it's still a reality. On the cultural side, on the area, the social, economical environment, if we take a remote area like the Karoos, for instance, where the people's lives would and could be negatively affected by this sudden explosion of migrant labor and the tradition of the local communities, if not handled carefully, could be affected or wiped out even, which is a very serious concern. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Questions of clarity. So one of them is respect to the applications that have already been received and what they are requesting. It was indicated that in the case of Bundu and Salt, if I understood correctly, that desktop applications have been requested or desktop studies will go ahead. It was also indicated that in the case of Shell, the tracking will only happen after renewal of the rights, i.e. after 3 years after the granting of the rights. Are you saying that within the next 3 years no hydraulic fracturing will happen? Because hydraulic fracturing very often has to happen, as you know, in order to explore for the existence of shale gas and the extent of that existence. So are you saying at least for the next 3 years there will be no hydraulic fracturing taking place in the country? And secondly, Chair, I need to go back to the issue of public consultation. I, as I said, was present at a meeting where the commitment was made that there would be public consultation before the gazetting of the regulations. And I hear that the regulations are not cast in stone, they might change, etc. But the fact is that applications are going to be assessed based on these regulations. A commitment was made by the Minister that there would be further public consultation. It hasn't happened. So,
can we get clarity on this, Chair? Thanks very much. Ah, yeah, and
the two. Oh. Hello, Stephen, good
morning. Honorable Smith, Honorable Mahal. Honorable Smith, Honorable Smith, what can I have a feeling? Honorable Mandel.
The regulations are fine regulations. Secondly, the time frame. How long is the Department of Parcel considering to finalize these applications? 6 months, 2 months, 2 weeks, 2 days, what kind of time can we get?
Thank you, the Honorable Chair. As far as this presentation is as through the member chair, the department came to the portfolio committee, and the issue of shale gas was raised, and it was presented by the department, as far as I know, if my memory serves me well. And I'm afraid, Comrade Chair, Honorable Comrade Chair, we are going very far out here. Because some of the questions raised by colleagues here were raised during that time of the presentation by the department. Though I'm not denying the rights to ask questions, but we are in a medical hub. We are not moving forward, or we are not moving forward. I don't know what you call it. We are at a mover stage. So, I have more than some time on the chair. Because the very department was there for the same matter. Questions were answered by the department. And we can take those minutes in our archives, because we had minutes that are there with regard to what was discussed in that meeting. So my fear, Chair, is that we might have been to answer some of the questions that we were not supposed to, and force the department to answer the questions that were not supposed to answer the department. Because some of the questions, as far as I'm concerned here, is that they are interlinked to the other departments that are not here. The water department, water and sanitation, environment, science and technology, the Department of Trade and Industrial. So we're forcing the department to answer questions. But at the end of the day, they are going to fail to answer this question satisfactorily, so, because that's not their terrain. The terrain of this department is mineral resource, it's that. So my proposal, Chair, is that I was of the view that, of course, it's possible that we can call all this department and then communicate a broader one. Where we are going to sit and have comrades at the Department of Water and Sanitation, Environment, with regard to the issue that was discussed here, all shale gas. And that's where we might get some clarity from those departments. So I accept my case. And that's what I want to say. For another record, we might efficiently asking irrelevant questions to the Department of Minerals and Resources. Thank you, Chair.
Let's agree, that our God is never you said comments. I appreciate it as you said comments mean to consistency. And I didn't see any negative reaction from Honorable Smith. But your policy that does look at it as a sacrifice when you invite people to make a presentation. Obviously, on the presentation they make question arise. It would be very quite easy to say members to those issues, because if the same presentation, then it seems that you have to die before, so they are not new issues. But I think also it has quite the impact that the members, when they feel the only issue, as long as we don't take the meetings there, as long as members feel that this issue, it has to be raised in the committee. At least rather than them to raise it outside, I always say I prefer when it's raised here so that we deal with those issues. And if we feel at this stage, I'm not sure we have that feeling. I take note of the fact that the final analysis, and I think we must agree, it's not the department's interest that are different. It's in the report where there were areas that were cited that overlap to other departments. The point that we were basing myself on that. All the issues that were presented and honorable members were acting on based on the report, those issues were overlapping as to whether now as a committee are we committed enough for the mandate of the committee to make a determination on them? And I made an example to say, if I sit in this committee chair, this committee, can I make a determination on an environmental related matter? That would be quite limiting because, yes, on the basis of what the report says, I can make that view in relation to what is the primary mandate of the department. But in relation to the other side, it is on the basis of what has been presented in the committee, not on the basis of what that committee is saying, which is a competent committee to deal with the land. I think that's the issue. But I don't think we can say we will need people not to ask what is raised in it. If it's a matter that relates to water, for example, we've got the right to the committee. But I don't think we're competent, that's my argument, to make a determination on how it's saying, except if we are sure that that's the concern, because I made that a concern. We may disagree on a matter that already a committee related to that has already made concern or has objected on a specific matter. Which I think is the matter that I was throwing to committee members that the final consideration is the final proposal that the public says there is an inter, what you call, ministerial chief committee. That is operating. At some point, it was said there is an inter-ministerial team, departmental team, led by DG. Now, the point that was then raised is in relation to that, to understand that committees themselves have a sedentary work in terms of responding to the challenge in front of us. So I would know when Honorable Maposa is invited there to go and present in the Department of Environmental Affairs. I said his slide might be slides that are prepared to respond specifically on what will be affecting that particular portfolio committee in terms of its interest. So when it comes there, I only rely on this. Except if someone can whisper and say, hey, if they come there in the committee, you must be aware that it didn't appear on this and that. At this stage, I move from the positive assumption that those issues that have been there. That's the point about that. The risk of the committee is when it takes the decision on the ground. Not to say it is wrong to do so with money. But on the note to the point, it was not rational for Matara though. It was still on time. But we're not going to spend time for the sake of spending it. But I put Honorable, can you continue in the meantime?
Yeah. Thanks, Mr. My love also came with the Honorable Matara, looking at the professions that are raised here, but it will cover the Department of Sustainable Water and also agriculture and environment. So now I'm also on the side of the meantime. That's just the environment whereby the proposal goes to the opposition.
Another good chapter.
Thank you. So, Honorable Madara said, I must support him. I really do support him. But the man is like a program making of the community, Honorable Chair. But I also wanted to emphasize on what you've raised, Chair, or especially on the role that the department is or should be playing when this part of the consultations are done. Seemingly, it seems as if the consultations are much being done by the applicant, of which I'm not sure if the applicants are so transparent to the communities that they may reduce everything about mining, except to say mostly the advantages of mining, of having jobs created, economy developed, and not about the environmental issues to the different that they may expect. So I wanted just to ask if the department assured of its role that it is playing or it should be playing when these public consultations are done, so to guarantee that the people who are affected are really well informed to tell me.
where we also just do what issues of conversation. And we'll continue consultation because it shouldn't end after the regulation. It must continue. That's what we're saying. We even getting the whole month to also go to communities and just register. Because it's better regulation of us. The concerns that were raised were concerns that honorable members are still raising today. You recall that the last regulations that were published, there were extensive engagements of those clubs. There were meetings with stakeholders who came with the members, even elaborate on these whole activities of even going to certain areas on this matter. So let's not talk as if there has never been consultation on this matter. You see, all we are saying is that you can never say it's enough. And that's what we're doing. In the next coming period, whilst we are experimenting on these matters, we've got to continue the consultation. So we are assured that when it comes to consultation, it's a cornerstone of this democracy. That we must consult our people. There are times that sometimes we take shortcuts maybe, but in this one, I mean, government is determined to go all the way to ensure that there is proper understanding. That's why this strategic environmental assessment for the next 2 years will continue. And I think Ms. Gimbler there must be able to answer the question in terms of what are the conditions on the license or on the exploration rights that I've spoken about here. So I thought maybe if we start the application that about Shell and the other two will be involved in terms of what is the expectation. Maybe we should start.
No, okay. The two applications that were received from Bundu and Falcon in relation to the exploration work program that they have submitted together with the application of an exploration right, one of the things that they have actually indicated was to do a desktop study. That is one of the things. And the other thing was to do seismic survey. So should the minister decide to approve these two applications, that will actually mean that these two companies will only be entitled in terms of the exploration right that will be granted to them. They will only be entitled to do in the first year, in the first term of the license, to do only these two activities. So in addition to Shell indicated that they will also do the desktop study, they will also conduct a seismic survey, but they will only do the hydraulic fracturing in the first year of renewal. That basically means that if the minister decides to grant Shell the exploration right, they will only do the hydraulic fracturing after the first term of the right has actually, as soon as the right has been removed.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. I think perhaps on the issues of consultation, in October we published the first draft of 2013. The first draft. We received 10 inputs. The size I can recall is in excess of 150. And a lot of the inputs had over 700 pages. It was a 407 page draft of the submission. And so we then studied carefully every single one of those, and in certain instances we had well-held workshops for specifically on the more or very technical aspects of the submission. And as late as in the 10th of April, the minister was invited to an Africana festival in Old Warren, in which the community surrounding the Old Warren and other participating members were invited to a workshop of him and Jonathan Dean, together with the professor from the University of the Free State, whose name I'm losing right now, constituted the panel discussion with communities. And in fact, one of the most encouraging things that emerged out of that engagement with the community representative also to the people of Botswana and they say, this is all we have been waiting. We have been wanting to hear you that you have taken measures that are globally progressive. For instance, there is nowhere in the world of all the tourist issues that are affecting Turkey, in which it is a regulatory requirement for chemicals that are used to be disposed. And in terms of the regulations that we have developed in South Africa, we make it a requirement that if you are going to pump anything into our land, the owners of the land must know what it is you are pumping. And there is no competitive argument you can use in South Africa to say that I cannot disclose these chemicals to you as government because it is a risk of competitive advantage. Those are the conditions under which you do business. So that was extremely encouraging when we were engaging with the community of Oswald. But we continue in our plans. I think the next several weeks we're looking at a comprehensive engagement with the community that are affected at government, so that we can bring them to confidence in terms of us having listened to them in 2011 and sharing with the communities what measures we have taken and empowering the community so that they can engage meaningfully when the consultation that I referred to in terms of the responsibility of government begins to take effect. And I think, Honourable Chair, I can assure you that a consultation, as the Deputy Minister indicated, is going to be post-publication of the regulations. We are not going to stop next week with the consultation. We are just going to continue. And yes, I think you've covered it well when you say these regulations enable exploration to take place. Because we need to know how much is there. Honourable Edison, I think maybe I may not have pronounced my 200 to 300 meters proper. The surface water and groundwater is covered in the range of 200 to 300 meters that I was talking about. But 200 to 300 meters, that's only that surface water. Now, the fresh water, it takes into account the surface water as well as the groundwater that can be accessed through drilling. The one that we are talking about is the brackish water. That's very deep, that's 2 kilometers deep. There is no fresh water in that that has been captured. There's absolutely no fresh water in 2 kilometers there. But up there, up to 3 kilo average, 300 meters, of course, every area will be slightly different. It will be 350, other areas, 400, 500 meters. But no area can be proven anywhere in the world where you find the fresh water at 2 kilometers there. Who's going to regulate the emission? There is air quality control. Regulation in South Africa, in the national environmental, the NIMLA legislation. And part of the streamlining process of the various departments includes an aspect of air quality management. So at the point of production when we get there, the management of air quality is very much part of the of the work that that government will be undertaking to make sure that we have indeed taken care of our atmosphere and the environment as it were. Honourable Smith, I think the question, are these final technical, final regulations? They are final as it relates to the process as we have outlined. But it doesn't mean that they will not be open, because we are going to continue to engage with communities, we are going to undertake the strategic environmental assessment, and there are other legs of research that are taking place, all of which are going to contribute to this regulation development process. As it relates to this initial phase, which I think Honorable Chair called the enable the framework for exploration. I would say yes, they are kind of obvious parties to make in that. But they are open to influence of the findings of the research processes that government is supporting, including research and environmental assessment, including other research processes that we are undertaking. And that's why the first 3 years of licensing is so critical, because we did a presentation that alluded to parallel processes. So that we don't know how much yet. We don't even know economically. So we must explore. But we know it takes the 3 years. But at the end of the 3 years, we have concluded alternative water sources, for instance, or other fluids. We would have concluded the strategic environmental assessment studies and evaluated as to whether the findings of the SDA necessitate for us to relook at the regulation. And all of that will also include consultations of all our stakeholders, including and especially the committee.
If you invite us to the next meeting, maybe I should ask my team to bring some visual examples of what's happening in a video. There is a video of the song that is made, and can also extend the link so that members can look into the song. It's called hydraulic fracturing, because you use a lot of force to fracture the rocks, to pack. But there are other methods other than using water that are applicable. There is technology advanced in those cars. So I'm just trying to say to members, as we want it about water, we might even use other methods of water of the structure. But we call fracking because it's American name, it's like fracking, you know, it's hydraulic fracturation. So if you go to African speaking communities, and you can be fracking, you can be fracking. Then it's another conversation. So it's important that you have to explain this thing. Those are the issues that you get an identity to engage on this. It's important that you explain that. So just to ensure that we will take what you say and so on into what you're showing.
Thank you, DM. But I remember I think that it's we have developed a changes communication practice. And perhaps to assure you that the whole intention of this changes communication practice is to take and South Africans are not aware of changes. South Africans generally don't know the opportunities, the risks, what government has done to mitigate risk, not only the affected communities. And so what this sharing guest communication strategy seeks to do is to continue our public participation engagement, but also to ensure that there is information dissemination to the general population of the country so that they can be brought into confidence on what sharing guest is, what the potential is in relation to the development of shale gas, recognizing that indeed there are risks and what measures have been taken to mitigate those the risks that are associated with shale gas development. That is an extension of our public engagement program, as it were.
Maybe just to assure Mr. Tessin on our lesson about the figures that you are noting about job creation, the 200 billion and so on, we necessarily don't want to use those figures in public because we want to actually do evidence-based research to be able to tell you for sure that is what can come out. At this stage, it's really early speculation, but they are mitigated from other ballparks. And there's also nothing stopping members from taking your own side visits to do issues where this thing is happening. I'm just throwing it so that maybe it's important that whether you go to jurisdictions where it's bent or unbent and so on, but also to understand that
we put the responsibility in terms of the constitution to do what is in the national interest. And part of our national interest is also to protect the environment and to ensure that our water resources, but also to ensure that we grow the economy. You see, today, and we're taking a liberal decision in South Africa to say we're going to continue with the resources that we have to ensure that we advance economic growth in the country. And this is just one part of it. Our conventional gas is part of it. You see, recently we went to an area where this thing is very big. You see the economic fallout that come out of that was clear environmental protection. And also, I'm sure that if you take this to the Calgary, for instance, in Canada, I'm suggesting it, just to see what is, because we've got our own company there, Sasol, operating that jurisdiction, and they are doing very well. So it's important to keep the status, but also to learn from the examples of those that did impact. We are fortunate because we're coming at the stage where we are able to look into experience of others and even do better. So far, so good, we've done very better. So I'm just saying that only one example that you can refer to in South Africa is Mokes. And it was set at 1 TCM. So if you take the last time I was there in Mokes many years ago, we were employing about 1,000 people. That's a great example. And as far as other than that and so on, that the diesel that we get into Mokes was fresh in terms of solar content. So there are so many economic benefits that can come out of this, but we don't want to blow our trumpet now until we have proven what we are saying patiently. We need 2 years of research, putting our best ideas there to look into the water, the environment, and everything else, the chemicals that might be used there. So, some of these areas are far, remote areas, where people are far away, but we're not going to take for granted because water resources, the aquifers and so on are very good. So I just want to assure members once again that the interdepartmental committee, led by DGs as well, and the intercommunicular committees, look into all this, and especially our astronomy program, the SKA as well, which we ensure that we stick to our international commitment, that should never be affected at all. So I want to close the lecture with that understanding that it's work in progress, and we are available to come back with even other department issues.
Okay.
Can
we do like this, members? Because we are not going to break those things from the measure. First, let's agree that there's a question, it's a topic that was very straightforward, but I include the limitation. The first issue is the question that the minister made a commitment that there will be public consultation or public sharing. Now, my limitation is meeting with the chair, unfortunately, I was not in that meeting. I would know what the minister has said. But second, I thought the question, even if it's being rephrased, to be just straightforward. Before, is there a possibility that before the regulation are budgeted, there will be public hearings or public meetings or public consultation meetings? And then I think the response says that process is forever open, but there has to be a framework that is being worked on, and that framework is the existence of the regulation. And I think let's agree then that part of what which is the point of saying, and I agree with you on the other part on the attention. I'm very careful in terms of sometimes we can have territorial wars unexpected. Not that type of wants to temper. I'm very careful. We must never come to the territory uninvited. I don't want to go to another person's territory. Unintentional. The point of talking about that. The general concern is open and honest. The general concern in relation to the preservation and listening to it, listening to it, besides the public participation right of it. The general concern on if we to use what I could say, all the substantive issues relate mostly on areas where we may not have the final authority to make a determination.
In this case, for instance, the majority of the major concerns, our environment, our water, although there is an Italian case, even with environment and water. Now, the point that I was raising was that rather than for us to conclude on that matter, it will increase myself as a quantitative of engagement. So that we can also benefit. I wouldn't even want to sit here and think that we are more clearer on those issues. We may also benefit from that other side because that's their area of specialization. To say, here are the issues. Now, when we deal with them, we deal with them once and for all, holistically. So in that one, we come from the angle of waste, of angle of threat to water, environment, and all those things. That's why I want to make that point. And other to them, but just want to remember actually, that with agents, that facility, and by the way, the issue of the dirty talk, which is one of the things that is put a spanner into it, is the fact that when we made an application, the application then came to one point, you are not the only one. You see, who are affected. There are other communities. So a modality has to be developed on how to respond to that application. So it then says, prior, even if, especially if approved, if it comes, it will come from that end, we need to have an agent, an inter-portfolio committee forum. How long to take, whether we agree on a Wednesday, or we may share both Tuesdays and Wednesdays, it will depend, but we know other members are sitting in the same committee, so we have to look at those issues. And I wanted to suggest, can let the level of the chapter in, together with the Microsoft committee, and facilitate that agent meeting, that will put all these committees. The first thing that we must then get, and I want to say this, Honorable Makana, I hope you are listening. Let's get a compiled report. I want you to facilitate. Compile the report from the department. In that report, let's get a background on the issue of shape. What it forms, what led, how much scope is in cover. Let's get in that report what are the challenges? Could be technological, where, when I say the challenges, could even include the advantages and so forth. What are the challenges? What are the opportunities? What are the possible threats to the environment? What are the possible threats to other related instances? Let's get also a background that says, to what extent. You see, the point that we're raising here, unfortunately, I cannot deny them, I can't challenge them, and I have no reason not to give a person such high office that they're not giving us the correct information. How much work, consultative work, has been done since this process has been taken? Now, let's deal with it. Let that report be frank and straightforward. In the commitment of, in the projection of that work, I said, what are the challenges, what are the challenges? But amongst those things, let's get the driving force, which is economic growth and job creation opportunity. And I think it will help us so that we deal with the issues that exist. For example, however, let's deal with the issue. I know we have not answered that question, and it's difficult to answer it now. The question is that I may not be comfortable to ask, but I must ask that finally, is it possible that after all this exercise we have taken, the potential that projects can be aborted because it is an unviable one option, and it was cost. Now, what you need with an inspector, I know it's difficult to answer, but it's so that we know the days we spend, everything that we're spending money on that we may realize that later on, it was never
and then preferably vote to change. I'm not saying anything is possible, but I'm saying it is in the final analysis. So that point, the issue that we've been raised again, I'm saying when you deal with them, try and contextualize them. It actually means the extent of the sensitiveness of the report, like described from 2011, so the extent of the sensitiveness of the report, it may also accommodate some of the members in the committees that were intended to be, that they must be part of, that they must also be able to be almost on the equal path. That's why I said I'm not sure whether when we look at this thing, it's a matter that we can do it in the half a thing that we do today. Especially if it's a much broader figure for us, or it's an issue that we may agree on how we start out, or we try to buy time of almost the whole day. Honorable members, the only thing I can appeal to them, this is the day after my committee. They will continue to exercise that because we may have, in the final analysis, have to look for a full day. And that full day probably, it may not be necessarily on a Wednesday. They did that in the floor where they may be nominal refreshing and so forth. So that's the point I'm trying to say that. So that we deal with the issue holistically, so we engage with others. But I can't say when the vigilant is politically together with acting DG. I'm not talking to you now as a project manager of the talking to you as an acting DG. It's whether in my interaction, but also your interaction, we will limit, but we cannot go to that. Different presentations. For example, we're not expecting when you do the presentation, then we'll get presentations from water, then we'll get presentations from environment and so forth. I think one fact though that the issue of science and technology becomes an area of one great area. I can't understand why you reduce science and technology into SKE. I missed that 1847. Now, why are you reducing that? Because clearly, what you are submitting here is not just the patient, you said it's your head. To what extent does this require extensive scientific expression of the capacity of the African research? So, when you reduce it, like, when you invite them back, so that we should not tamper with the SKE. Now we must only concentrate on that. We want to see is there a potential, is it going to unleash the potential of South Africa's capacity, technological and scientific. So I think that part, even where you talk about your black industrialist and so forth, science will have to, but the other issue now in closing, can you tell us, is it going to be only shale gas and Ubuntu, US? So my discomfort is that mineral resources in this country, truly speaking now, that's my personal view. By benefit, I'm still not convinced that it's South African to me. That's my view. So you tell us, to what extent will that, I don't want to use the word that may make some first time or don't want to talk about indigenization. To what extent though, it will both benefit to South African companies. Well, the very industrial is, oh, the least one, I'm not sure whether it's going to help us. Even general industrialists. Because to create an impression that we've got industrialists in South Africa might also be connected here in general. But to what extent is it going to ensure that South Africa on its own? So let's look at some of these issues because part of this work that we may be ignoring, which I think is the point you raised on trade and industry, is that if beneficiation was still going to do what we are ordinarily doing in South Africa, we would be sharing cases on the basis of extraction can be another issue. But the generation of energy is going to be something that tends to be, if one to use the word, a benefit in effect of the manufacturing in the South African economy. We want all to deal with those issues of what are those advantages, to what extent do we tend to benefit as a country in the final analysis. Let's not run out. On that note, is that agreed, honorable member, out of the suggestion.
Yeah, thank you. I just want to maybe have a, with your permission, something to say. I want to thank Mr. Lobuso and his team for the presentation, and I think it was comprehensive. That's why I want to say this. I think portfolio committees like this is where policies are formed and decisions shaped and even changed. There is oversight and this is separation of powers, and the chairperson has actually said it as well. That's why few people even answered it. But we ask certain questions on this. If a team comes here to present, they must be well informed for whatever we ask them. We're not going to ask the Department of Water to come and tell us what something that's directly involved with fracking. This is what the presentation is here for. You chair said it, and this Mr. Wooza and his team also in their presentation reflected that. So thank you for that. I just wanted to say that. Thank you.
Okay. I've read the proposal. Before I revoke my rights,
put it.
Another talk with Jay.
Yes, Mr. Chair, your proposal as far as it extends to the joint meeting and the report is supported.
Okay.
Can I add something before another question? Because we may not be an aftermath. As part of that, can we anyway, I'm not sure before public conversation. But can you also part of that presentation make sure that you prepare the regulations and such as part of the benefit of the committee? Even if you don't invent them yet, you will find a way of how to manage that problem.
Honorable
Manager,
agreed,
sir. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
On that note, now come check out your thing.
I can see you are.
Why do you think when you are finished? Can you go? Can you go to the minute? I thought you Page 2.
I thought you would do this, defend my argument. You wanted
the
nature
for
another question.
Honorable Smith.
actually going to be arrested by the DA for not calling honorable lawyer in my hospital.
Yeah, I forgot about that, Mr. Chair. There is a case in fact. We'll discuss it after the meeting.
Page 3. The only thing on page 3 is that that point, I thought that was clear. Because it ends only with the response of the CEO of the British State Government. We are not necessarily thinking that is the correction. I was looking because in the final analysis, the issue that leads to this match was that finally the committee has agreed that with regard to the matter now is done to finalize the plan. I do not remember the actual wording. That includes probably the concluding remarks that part of this work that was written here was the fact that we urged, even when they made that plan, that this was an unnecessary problem that could have been addressed. That in future the turnaround time on the supply of information is very critical. That's how I understand. Because it was in relation to the fact that information always arrived at the time where we were supposed to deal with the mess. Part of that work that was actually asked from the government probably would not have had this problem if there was a big turnaround and dealing with the matter. So I think that we are agreed that the matter now is closed and it's done. You will see how we will be writing the show. We will be the center of the committee. The English will be there. Page 4. Okay. And it's a great matter arising. Oh no, is there more of the minute?
Honorable Mariana.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to move for the adoption of the minutes of 13 May 2015 with the amendment as adhered.
Honorable Mekan?
Yes, Chair. I will second the Honorable Nkosi Mandela on the adoption of the minutes of the 13th of May 2015. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Madam Arisen, page 1. Can I suggest that page 2 and 3 be combined? Because they say the same thing. Any matters arising? That's the presentation of the state demonstrator. It goes up to page 3. Any matter arising there? Good. Please form. Honorable Stephen.
Chief, thank you. I would just like to say something in general about the minutes, and not directly on matter arising.
Okay, can we finish this one? You know, at least now, I'm sure you are dimly aware of me. Nothing disappears under the chair. So, I always say I prefer when we disappear, knowing that we disappear rather than to avoid us. So nothing will disappear. Again, the matter of arising, which is called under the announcement, I know we can still go there. The latest call still remains. Still remains until we are advised otherwise. So as soon as things come to normal on what is next, I fully believe that we did our part. So it's not as bad. Still, it's an administrative process, one way to say. far as I know. That is on the issue of the referral of the MFRDA in Rwanda according to what we are advised to do. On the issue of the 34, I think I shared with members of the 34, we are still awaiting the response. But it seems the response must be prepared that when it comes back, it may, if it's not divided but accepted, it may not be this committee alone that is undertaking, or it may not be even all members of this committee which are undertaking that. So it might be a very minimal number in relation to that. But the committee might be a representative. But we will need members fully aware as soon as that is done. Honorable,
thank you, Chair. With the Amakosi's tradition, Undundana Matlala, my friend, I'm directing Matlala is not as important. Chair, I just want to suggest that you, Chair, maybe excuse the presenters, the public, the media when we do the minutes afterwards. I think it's really not a concern for them. They can be excused when the minutes is done. It could be sensitive issues carried over, I think, my suggestion. Thank you.
I want to
say it's
up to you,
but I'm
very
curious
to
see
the something that I was supposed to be
transparent.
If the rules say, as far as I know, if you want to do that, you must then make an application. That's why when we were dealing with the matter of the state diamond secretary, we said, it doesn't say anything. If there's an issue, that's what you could raise with members, and they feel it's sensitive, they can make us aware and we will find a way to handle the matter. But I would find it very difficult sitting in the committee agree on a principle. As none of the people who are here as and when they feel that they would want to excuse themselves in the committee because the matter they would have had an interest on has been deliberated on, I think that is okay. But I'm not believing I will check the correctness, but to tell people in the meeting now you are excused, you want to deal with the minutes, but it's very, very I don't know, but we can deal with it in another platform and get it correct as of it. But as far as I know, committee meetings are open. Only if you want to deal with the matter, you will then have to apply. So when they say they are open, it actually means every corner of that committee is open until you make that application. Another reminder.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm not going to turn on the issue. Party has belonged to is very transparent. Chair, I think what you admitted is the issue of failure or decline of the starting tone. We still have the role to engage on oversight, on the horizon of oversight program on the 22nd of June. So if we are not doing the starting tone, should be able to continue with the work of the committee and apply to register.
No, I think we know that obviously we will see. We can't just say it is a committee period. We will then have to look at alternatives. And I let's take that point. What then was we to do with the committee? I think that's what we're going to do. Okay, honourable member, announcement? Okay, honorable members, on that note, I guess this is still a possibility to continue. Let me thank you very much. I hope honorable Lazmo, for your first meeting, you are welcome to
come.
And your contribution also. And all of you honorable members will help. In the end, thank you very much with your team. Unfortunately, you came here thinking that you are doing well. Instead of coming to put a next note to give you a huge one. And I know, in as much as we sense, but we say it's true,
very unusual to tell a speeches. But I appreciate what you do. Thank you very much. This is Emma Jerry.
We have to make a break.